house of God.
If you ever wondered before, you don't have to wonder anymore. You are welcome here. Mark chapter 5. Book of Mark chapter 5. We're going to begin our reading this afternoon at verse number 1. It says, "And they came over unto the side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried with a loud voice. And he said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.'" The Bible says in another scripture that many spirits are gone out into the world. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea." Jesus, we thank you, Lord, today. Thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to come into your presence. Thank you, God, for that spirit we've already felt in this place. I believe, God, that you will touch the hearts of the sincere, the searching, the longing, those that desire today to be touched by you. Let your word not go return void, but let it accomplish where you send it today. We give you praise. We give you glory in that mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This afternoon, Isaiah is going to preach to you a message I have titled, Freedom. Freedom. Say it with me, would you? Freedom. Freedom. Say it like you mean it. Freedom! Freedom! See, in pondering my sharing with you this message thought that God placed in and upon my mind, I was drawn to this particular scriptural text and this biblical story. And what it was that the Lord began to reveal and to show to me as I read it is how that this very story is one that parallels the lives of the vast multitudes of people who live before us. And you don't know, in our modern society, in our modern world, I understand that it's we who do not often or would not likely observe somebody in a similar condition as our Bible story. One who in like manner was found living in the tombs, living in a physical chains, and being the one who bears the scars created by the result of the fetters that had been broken off of his body, as well as the chains that were broken which could not hold him bound. You look around and you say, well, I haven't seen anybody walking in the tombs, and I haven't seen anybody walking around the chains. But upon a review of the condition and the circumstance that many a soul in our world finds themselves in, and that on a daily basis, and what it is that you yourself will see and will discover, are they the people who are living, shall I say, as victims, as well as literal captives, or the ones that have been imprisoned by the many vices and the addictions that now hold them bound. Chained, fettered as a result of drugs and alcohol, in prison, held bound because of the multitude of the emotional, hear me now, the physical and the mental abuses that as a people they're forced to bear. They bear these chains that you and I maybe have been a long time ago, were locked kind of in a cage. And even if when the door was open to them, as it was open to us, still they appear to remain bound. Trapped in a world full of its vices, those whose power on a daily basis holds on to them as it held you at one time bound. You know what? I can quit this anytime I want. I can turn my back on the drugs, the alcohol, smoking. You know, I can leave this social condition of my emotional breakdown. I can walk out of this world anytime I want. And sometimes even when you look back in your life and you think, you know what, there was the open door. And no, you want to stay in this cage because this is all you know. This is all you were taught. This is the only way you have lived life, you know, bound and fettered. I can't really be free. And you know what? I used to say many a time as a young man, well, I'm going to quit smoking. And I did. I kept smoking up to 2.5 packs a day. In today's world, that'd almost be probably $30 a day of smoking. I quit any time I want. I had more New Year's resolutions in my young life than you probably got in your whole life. I'm going to quit today. And I'd get another pack and I'd smoke twice as much as I did before I quit. But I'm free, you see. No, you're bound. No, you are in chains. You know what? I don't need alcohol. I don't need the drugs to get me high in life. I'm already high in life. No, you're not. You don't even know what living is all about. You are bound. And you know what? You have this facade. Oh, you know, we used to think, get drunk on Friday. Hey, party on Saturday. Throw up on Sunday and have a blue Monday when you got back to work. Oh, yeah. Living. Oh, no, you're not. See, many of our own stories may not even exactly parallel the likes of the one that we just read in Mark chapter 5. But in comparison, I want you to hear this today. In a similar fashion, it still does. I've never walked around in chains. Oh, yes, you have. I've never been bound. I've never been beaten emotionally or mentally or even spiritually. Oh, yes, you have. Many about us are they who believe that they're free when in fact they're not. And with all of the help, with all the devices able to assist them in becoming free, still they're not. They're not free. And at one time, the statement, as I've already said, referred to each one of you, many of you today. Oh, I'm free. No, you're not free. You're not free. You're living in a world of chains and of bondage and misconceptions, thinking this is a good time. No, it's not. In some ways, can I be bold enough to say that even some of you that are water baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Some ways you are bound as well. You're not free. Ooh. Some of us live our lives bound by fear, while others in our lives fight doubt and unbelief and the fact of what it is that they on a daily basis truly could do or what it is that we come up against, even in concerns to what God can and what God wants to do for you in your life. I don't believe God can do that. I'm so scared. I don't even know. Well, I thought you got the Holy Ghost. And I thought you were baptized in Jesus' name. Why are you so full of fear? Wasn't it Jesus Christ who was asleep in the hinder part of the ship that one time? And the disciples were tossed. The boat was tossed in the lake that day. And, oh God, don't you even care that we perish? And he woke up and he said, why are you so fearful? You of little faith. And then he rebuked the sea. Shh. Did you see what he did? Did you just see what he did? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know about my sickness. I don't know about the troubles I'm having in life. I don't know what God's going to do. And so you walk about. I'm sorry. As a bound Christian. Because we don't understand the power of now faith. The substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. I may not be here or there yet, but I'm on my way. I'm going to make it one day. I'm going to get out of this one day. I was talking to a lady the couple of past days. In Walmart, she walked up to me and she goes, I'm done with God. I'm done with God. And I said, why are you done with God? Didn't even look like she started, but anyhow. And I said, what are you done with? Oh, you know what? I have all these problems and troubles, and I'm going through lots of things, and he allows me to go through them. And I said to him, I said, well, are you doing what God told you to do? Well, and I did say this, and I mean, it came out, and then I thought about what I said, and I thought, well, I'm talking to an unchurched person. I said, have you been paying your tithe? Yeah, I did. Anyhow, and I said, can I tell you something? Can I give revelatory? Why would you say that? My pastor, when I used to go into trouble, you know, I'd go in the office, sit down with him, and I'd say, Pastor, this is really happening in my life. You know, things are really upside down. And he'd say to me, and I figured my wife and I were about as faithful as you can get. He said, you paying your tithe? Is that a question to ask? I do whatever I'm necessary to do. Anyhow, I gave her a revelation of thought. And then she said, she quickly turned the page. And ready for this one? I said, are you ready for this one? This is a hot. This is big stuff. Here we go, Tamara. Do you know, I can prove this. This is undeniable fact. Everyone, hear me, everyone that Jesus prayed for died. You guys went quiet on me. Did they leave, Brother Chris? I hope they're still here. Everybody that Jesus, I said, Lazarus, who he raised from the dead, died again. She goes, well, that's why God brings people just like you and puts them into my life to remind me of this kind of stuff. I said, it rains on the just and the unjust. I said, do you know Christians die of cancer? I said, Christians, they die of diseases. You know, Christians, they get into trouble. Christians are broke all the time. You want to see the inside of my wallet? No, you don't, because it's just dust. Anyhow, we don't get, you know, we get in the same trouble. Oh, man, my life is in so much trouble. Yeah, but you know the difference is I have got God. And I told her, I quoted this. I said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. When I was a young man, a young married couple, you know what we did? When we grew up, what we did is we had so much money and we paid so much for rent, so much for tithe, and then we paid for our phone and our electrical bill, which is electric heat, you know, and we had nothing for food. Fact. She's sitting right there. She thinks I'm lying right before y'all. But you know what? One way or another, God provided. We had a landlord. Whoever did this, you move in, well, just a young couple. I was 20. She was 21. Cute as a button. She's not 21 anymore, but anyhow, so cute as a button. Yeah. I was 22. She was 21. We moved into this new place. Everybody in Kelowna in 1982 hated young people. I hope I don't get off the board too far there, brother. But anyhow, they hated young people. We knock on this one door, and I don't know. Maybe I was too skinny back then. I'm still working on it. But anyhow, this guy says his name is Roy Shizeki, and he rented to us. We had a kitchen where you could sit at the kitchen table, turn the oven on, open the fridge, turn on the taps, wash the dishes, reach up a little higher, put them into the cupboard, and then get up and walk away. We had a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous coffee table. It was a cardboard box covered by a little doily we got from the Salvation Army. And we had an awesome bed. Yeah, two mattresses, no box spring, kind of lumpy, and you lay it on your back. We were living high on the hog. Who would have told this guy? Who told him? That we moved in there, and I don't know, maybe he watched out his window as we moved in with pretty much nothing. We went out for a walk. You know why? Because they didn't have a car. I couldn't even afford a car. Couldn't afford the gas in the car. We come home. Witness. We walk up the little stairs to our little apartment, and there's three bags of groceries. I serve a God who with his angels watches over me. Well, you're talking about freedom. Yeah, I am. Freedom. Freedom to worship. Freedom to praise. Freedom to trust God. I don't live in a world of, oh no! What's the matter? I don't know. I'm just thinking something might happen. I don't know! But people do. Here you go. Ready? Many people are beat down. They feel helpless. They're captive in a world that's filled with its traps, its chains. Countless souls are they who wander about us in this very city of Williams Lake. They're prisoners. Ready? They're abused. They're burdened. They're broken. They feel helpless. They feel powerless against the forces of evil. It's an evil that has captivated them. It's one that one on a daily basis seeks to destroy the very remnant of what is left of their miserable and shattered lives, this, ladies and gentlemen, I call sin. Ready? Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Captive, burdened. People get up in the morning and they don't even know which way is up. How did I get here? What is going wrong in my life? My mom ran off on me. My dad's, I don't even know who he is. My siblings are out for themselves. This guy I just met, as the lady said, he was only out for what he can get. The lady I met, she robbed me blind, took my wallet, and left me laying in the ditch with nothing. I'm free. Free. No, you're not free. That bottle that you cracked last night and got good and drunk on? Yeah? What's your problem today? Oh, I feel sick. I'm going to puke. Oh, that, you know that pack of cigarettes that you got? Oh, I think everybody has a right to have lung cancer. I really do. You're being deprived as Christians. You should be able to die like the rest of the world does. That drugs? We were talking to somebody the other day. They talked about fentanyl. There's such a craze on for this fentanyl. Fentanyl is eternal. Eternal. One trip could be an eternal trip. And honey, when you get there, you think you were bound today, you wouldn't even know what freedom was. So you're thrust in a world of addiction. It's sin. It's because of their foolish choices, because of their living a life absent of God. I don't need God. Oh, yes, you do. Listen to this. Being fed medication to try to bring a sense of balance back into their circumstance, but not really being able to attain, well, what I said to you, being free. I submit to you today, church, unless the miraculous occurs within their very lives, those who I speak of, maybe even some of you today, one day you're going to die in that pitiful condition that the adversary has put you in. You see, we think, I'm doing this at free choice. No, you're not. You're bound. You're in prison, whether you believe it or not. I've caught you. I've captivated you. I've addicted you. I want you got to have this. Without ever experiencing the chance or the opportunity like you and I today have of being free, being able to walk about in this world, in this realm of this world, under the mode of freedom. And not being bound. Unable to overcome. Unable to break free. I'm going somewhere. Freedom. I'm talking. Don't lose the focus. Freedom. I'm unable to break free. But my Bible says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What it is that you can do, what it is that they in their lives can do to one day rise above maybe their own or your own perilous, troubled life is where you'll be able to turn and walk away forever free. Could you imagine walking away from that addiction, from that sickness, from the emotional pain? I know what it's like to bear emotional pain. BC, that's before Christ, I can tell you what it's like to bear emotional pain. I can tell you what it's like to have a father who helped me to understand physical pain. The only way you can walk away forever free is to completely submit your life, your heart, your all that you are unto the God who created you and who created them. I want to tell you this, if the doctors had the answer, then people would not be in such a position to need them so much. As for the doctor, they can only do so much. As if for the psychologist, they really don't have the answer. They don't have, you know, it's not ready or not, here I come, you can be free. They don't, if they had the answer, they'd give you the answer in order for you, for anybody for that matter, to ever be able to be free. Begins by there as well as your life, starting to apply that precious blood of Jesus Christ unto your life. We sing a song in church. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The answer to this world's problem, the answer to your problems, all of you, to that of your situation, to your circumstance, in fact, in regard to anybody's circumstance in life, in order to not, hear me, remain chained, fettered, bound. It's not going to be found in a bottle filled with its pills. The only viable answer remains for you, my friend, to surrender your life and your all to Jesus Christ, your God. Freedom reigns at an altar where you unburden your soul. Freedom remains and is there for that soul, for the life of those who in their life who are submitted and surrendered in their lives to God. I got nowhere to go. I like what Paul said, and I've used it a time or two, but in a different context. He says, I don't know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't know what I'm doing with myself. I just surrender to God. I said, I don't walk around stupid and blind, but you know what I do? I submit my life. I said, God, you drive. You take a hold of the helm. You take me down that pathway, because if I go down the path that you're leading on, I won't be gone astray. If I go down that pathway, I'll walk to my freedom and away from my chains. If psychology, the medical profession, bore the cure, then in this 21st century world, we'd be able to say I'm free. But the truth is, people can't say that today. I can't say I'm free. I can say I'm free, but they can't. Do you want to be free? Do you really want to be free? You know, this sometimes even affects church people. Paul, the writer of 2/3 of the New Testament church, he said this. He said, I die daily. You want to be free? Then get ready to repent of your sins. If you desire to be set, to be made free, then allow yourself, if you haven't already, be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. You want to be free forever? Then you need to seek to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in an unknown tongue. And on a daily basis, you hear me? We are not weekend Christians. It's every day of my life. I submit and I walk that life of Christ. I believe the cry of our risen and our resurrected Savior today is for you to come unto me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's why wherever it is in your life that you find your circumstance, wherever it is that you might be today, you feel forced to endure your sorrow, your pain. I want to tell you today, church, friends, saints today, how you're wrong. Because in your present condition, you don't have to stay there. You know what? Sometimes I can tell you, I feel it even as a pastor. And I think sometimes I get beat up more than I really want to get beat up. But the devil takes me and he brings me into depression and he drags me down, and I feel like the world is on my shoulders, and the devil goes, you're such a failure, you're such a loser, you need to quit. But then I look around at people just like you, and I get hope again and life again. I enjoy reaching for people and seeing them come out of the same chains that I come out of. I'm going to see you free like I was free. And I'll tell you what, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. He beat you. Yeah, he does. But you know what? Here, I'm walking away so nobody can see who I'm looking at. You let him beat you. You let him bind you. Do you forget who you are? Do you forget where you come from? Freedom oftentimes is a prayer away. Freedom is that making a commitment to God away. I think sometimes, you know what? You know what the world, yeah, I'm going to say this. You know what our problem of our world today is? That word called commitment. Relationships, they'd rather shack up instead of hook up. That's a symbol the world knows. If I have to go around, and I'll pick somebody that the least, you know. Excuse me, lady, I'm married. I got to tell you, I'm married. I already have problems. I've been floating the boat here. Lady, if you have to walk up and say, excuse me, I'm married. Well, I see you're not wearing anything on your hand, you know. You touch me again, I'm going to punch your hand. Well, I'm married. you.
If that's how you behave, ma'am, you got problems. You're bound in your mind, you know. Oh, watch this. Watch this. I want to show you something. It's really cool, you know. I don't have one on, but anyhow, just pretend I got this big gold. I don't know why I'm getting off on this, but anyhow, I'm going to tell you. Shazam! Married! Where's my spirit? I'm married. I'll act like I'm married. Yeah.
How you doing?
He's going to drop the bomb. They're all laughing. I'm a Christian. I'll act like it.
Amen.
Hey. I'm a Christian, okay? C-H-R-I-S-E-I-A-N. I can spell too.
You didn't. You were checking it out, weren't you?
Can I tell you something? I really feel this, sister. I really do. For all that you want to know, please hear me. This is very true. I am not a recovered alcoholic. Recovering. I am not a recovering drug addict. I am not a recovering mentally, emotionally, sometimes you might think I am, a bound person. You see, I have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to my life. You see, I went down in the watery grave. The old man was crucified. I rose to walk in newness of life. I don't need some pill to make me better. I got God. You see, I'm free. Oh, yeah, Pastor, you telling us that, you know, that you never have problems? Don't kid yourself. Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. What does that mean? I don't get it. That's King James. What it means is you're going to get in trouble, and so am I. You're going to have, but you know what? When you make a decision to live for God, do you think the problems you had before are bad? Sometimes they get worse. Oh, should I not live for God? No, because the other option is going to be worse. I lived my life for the first 22 years. Hear this, this is true. Under the shadow of constant emotional, the form of mental abuse, I started to get drunk, you know, drinking and get involved in drugs, believing I was finding happiness. Yes, I did. In the emptiness of the world, I discovered not one time did that world offer me true freedom. On the brink of getting in trouble with the law, on the verge of completely losing my freedom, I contemplated and taken my own life. 22 years old, what's wrong with you, kid? On the verge of considering throwing what remnant of a life I had left away. But it was I who, because of a beckoning cry of a Savior, along with my wife, who made her way to an old-fashioned Pentecostal altar. It was then that for the two of us, for the first time, that we discovered at an altar before God that this is where true forgiveness was found. This is where the remission of sins was found. This is where freedom abounded. I never felt like that in my whole life. I don't know if I'm talking to a church here or not, but I'm telling you, when I said sorry and I meant it, I never felt like the chains had ever come off like that before. That's water, folks. Just water. But you come up out of that water and you feel so clean. I'm still riding and I'm sorry she's not here. Maybe something happened, but Jordan, when she got the Holy Ghost. Wow. I thought, you got it. You really did. Wow. Life. Hi, I like everybody. I even like you. Yeah, you too. Hi. You know what your problem is? You just don't believe. I'm going to love that one for years. Anyhow, I'll preach out on that one. Yeah, you know what your problem is? You just don't believe. That's why you don't got it. I got the Holy Ghost last Wednesday. It'd be really nice for some of the church folks, you know, some of us fossils. We go back to work. What happened? I went to church yesterday. The guy preached so long, I didn't know when I was going to get out of there. Oh, really? What about that snap in your head? You know? What's wrong with you? I was at Joel's place. You started drinking? Yeah. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. This is the rest wherewith he causes the weary to rest. And this is a refreshing. Not here. You want to be free? I talked about that today. No more sorrow, no more pain. I traded it. I traded the shame. I'll raise my hand for me. You ever been in shame? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You ever been in pain? Oh, yeah. But see, I know you all think this, but I'm going to shatter it today. And I wasn't always as nice as I am. I know. I've blown some of you away, I know. But you know what? Neither were you. My Bible says, and such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of that Lord Jesus Christ. I was, but I'm not. I was bound, but I'm not. Because the Scripture boldly declares to us about our freedom. When Jesus was crucified, Jesus went down into hell and he took the keys of death and hell away from the devil. Revelation 1:18. He took them away. I don't walk around bound. You know what I do? The only reason we ever get bound in fear and doubt and unbelief is because we allow it. We feed on it. But you know what? Bible says God has set you free. He's made you free. He makes you free. The Apostle Paul, coming to a close, puts it like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. You want to know how we live? I'll tell you how we live. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. That means troubled, and we're puzzled, and we're confused. We're thrown about at times, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. It's right in your Bible. I go through it, but I'm not. What I'm telling you is a fact that all it is that you need to do today, freedom today can be yours, whoever you are. I don't care if you've been in the church for 50 years. Sometimes you get bound. If it wasn't that way, sometimes, you know what? We'd have to get ropes on all the pews so people can swing on them back and forth. But sometimes we walk in and we have got the world on our shoulders. We've got the struggles of life. And the devil wants you down there. And the best way to get the devil off your lap is stand up. You know how you stop the devil from drowning? Take your foot off his head, but don't. Jesus offers you today to take upon you his yoke. Come. The Bible says his yoke is easy, but his burden is light. The Bible says, here we go, back to that verse before she begins to play. And always, night and day, the Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 5, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. We live in a world where people self-hurt, you know that? I've met a few. Oh, yeah. I'm going to get better. And they cut themselves all up. Wow. Chains. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And from that day forward, he was no longer bound, but he was free. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. Perfect love. Here we go. Perfect love. Could you imagine if every time I met my brother, I haven't picked on you for a long time. He's grabbing onto his wife right now. He's wondering if I'm going to yank him out of his pew. No. Could you imagine every time if I came to the presence of Brother Chris here, is that how you approach God? I hope you don't miss what I'm doing. Perfect love casts out all fear. He loves me. God loves me. I come to him. He's just waiting, not with a hand, but with a hand. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to walk like that. freedom today, church. Friend, all you got to do is come to the front of this church. All you got to do, maybe where you're standing, lift up your hand and say, God, no more. No more chains. No more bondage. No more fear. God, you love me. You died for me while I was yet a sinner. Let's stand together.
So beautiful out of my.
What would you do as you lifted up your hand of Jesus Christ right here, right now, took a hold of yours?
I'm trading my soul.
Why don't you trade it today? Why don't you settle in your heart? God, I want to be free. I want to be free. You've been tormented with anxiety, stress, pressure, problems. Give it to God. Well, what's He going to do to it? What are you going to do while you carry it?
I'm trading my soul.